Timory Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember. Even with a busy speaking and radio schedule, she finds time to devote to her creative love of dance. Don Johnson is an author, speaker, and major motion picture film producer. Both hold master's degrees in theology, and together they cover the week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Don and Timory.
Welcome to Trending. My co-host Don is back, no longer suffering. I think what I'm hearing is one of the worst cold seasons ever.
It does seem that way. Cold, flu, I don't know what it is, but in 20 years of marriage, my wife and I have never had the whole house go completely down for so long. I feel like we've been fighting it for about 5 or 6 weeks,
and
we're still in the midst of it. My second oldest daughter still is fighting the high fever, so craziness, crazy season in the Johnson household, but we're getting by.
You know, it's funny. It was making me think, are we more stressed this year? Is it just a bad cold? Are our immune systems low? All I keep thinking is take care of yourselves, you guys. We have a big fight ahead of us, so much to do, and I think, you know, fighting to make sure that we're healthy. It's a reminder for us of, like, how long are we down and out for? Because I think, you know, the challenge of being sick can be partially mental along with actual sickness. You know, you kind of go, oh man, I'm so tired, and you start to get down, and you just, I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to stay in bed for days. And it's like, there's a balance. You know, Don, you were the whole time, I probably called you way more than I ever have last week when you weren't here, and I'm like, I'm sorry. We're like, it's okay, I'm working.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Yeah, I think you're right about the whole immunity thing. A lot of stress that, for instance, I'm under a bunch of deadlines with all sorts of different things. My wife and I are moving. You got all this other stuff that I'm sure is extenuating the whole situation a whole lot. So, yeah, you got to take care of all of you, and not least of which is your spiritual life, by the way.
Right.
And it's tempting to, like, you know, oh, I don't have time to pray today or whatever. No, we got to take care of that, too.
It's like you have extra time. You can sit in that sick bed, praise the Lord without ceasing. You know, and speaking of which, we should probably start talking about this a little bit. Lent. We are 2 weeks away from Lent. It's coming up close. Have you started to think and prepare for what you can give up for Lent? And I actually more so one of those, not what we can give up, but what we can do.
Yeah, that's I know we talked about that a little bit last year, I think, and 2 weeks till Lent. no, it's too early for that. But yeah, you're right. We got to start thinking about it. I'm actually, that just makes me think, oh, I've got Lenten missions that I'm preaching that I got to be preparing for also. So much more stress. All right.
And maybe another question that's really important too. Are you prepared for Valentine's Day? 2 weeks. Warning for that special love.
It's on Ash Wednesday, I think, this year.
It is on Ash Wednesday.
I think that's the case. I'm not.
That's a really
sure how
good.
How are we going to handle that?
Yeah. That's a good excuse if you forget. It's Ash Wednesday. I thought we weren't doing anything. Well, in the news this week, the Grammy Awards. Did you catch the Grammy Awards this week?
No.
Oh, man.
Why would I do that, Timmy?
I know.
I did actually scroll past. Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't,
scroll past.
I don't watch any of these award shows, but the Grammys are one that I might like. I might be tempted, but only because I like a good music performance as much as anybody, right? Like, I like a good concert. And so if there was going to be a good performance, and sometimes there are at the Grammys, I would be tempted. Unfortunately, in the two times that I scrolled past, it was just a lot of wah, 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 a lot of chit chat.
Oh, man. Well, I think that's the joy of being an online participant after the fact, is you can go and watch, like, what happened at the Grammys? What are the performances? And you can hop on, you can fast forward scrolling through. It's great. You don't have to.
That's much better. So you didn't watch it? Or you
I watched most all of it. But again,
really?
I'm able to skip through a lot of parts. And you know what's funny is that I'm not a huge person for award shows, but I know it's something that has such a big impact on many people. Like, they love music. They love movies. They want to see what won Best Picture of the Year, what won Best Album. And, you know, I mean, just to top it off, like, Kesha's performance was phenomenal.
I did catch a little bit of that on YouTube later on. Praying, right?
Right, yeah. Praying. And her performance, what was such a big deal about it was the fact that here she is singing, someone who has been clearly, you know, spoken out about having been sexually abused by someone within the industry. And what was ironic about it, well, not really funny in that sense, but what was interesting is that they wouldn't even name who the person was that she has essentially for years now been speaking out about since back in 2014. I mean, this involved Sony Music. It involved Dr. Luke and all of these different people. And she is one of those people who have spoken out. And so the fact that she was there performing and had this invitation, and she's talking about, you know, praying for the person that came after her, the impact it had on her. There's a beauty to that. But at the same time, there's this recognition that you're not even naming the person who harmed you. And it's like the thing that's hushed up the whole time.
Right. I take it that there was a lot of talk about Time's Up, Me Too, a lot of politics. Yeah. Is that was the general vibe I got in the 2 seconds that I scrolled past.
And that's what's ridiculous. The whole point of her singing was this Time's Up, Me Too campaign. I've been sexually abused by someone within our own industry that a lot of us are basically slaves to, and how we've worked with him. And he hasn't really had any ramification come about for the sexual abuse that's taken place. And so here you see it, you know, this whole Me Too, women deserve better. But, you know, a lot of people, I think, are sitting here saying, well, you know, you can say that and be all talk, but is it really doing anything?
Well, and then here's the other thing, Timri, that when I did scroll through YouTube to just try to catch a couple of the performances, what I noticed was a lot of half naked women twerking on stage. Now, yeah. How does that work? I mean, and of course, this is the thing that, you know, those who are, and we've talked a lot about Me Too, and I'm generally in favor of it, but right. I also understand those that say you can't stand up there and chit chat about Me Too when your backup singers are naked twerking right. on stage. That doesn't go together, and there seems to be a serious disconnect there.
Totally
is seriously hurting. Like, is no one who's producing the Grammys, does no one look at that and say, ah, somehow this is hurting our movement?
Right.
Do they not see that?
Well, and I think that's a great point, because I was watching some of the Bruno Mars performances, and one of them, I was just in here like, oh man, you know, I just had to fast forward past. Not that it was horrible, but it just was inconsistent, and it was hypocritical in many ways. They're making a big deal about Me Too and Time's Up, yet, you know, they don't have enough self-respect or respect for their performers even. And I know, having been in the performing industry, that there's often a lot of pressure put on performers as well, both in what they wear, how they dance. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of, you know, we're doing what we can to be famous and have this awesome opportunity. But, you know, for example, Lady Gaga, in the middle of her performance, just inserting the words Time's Up doesn't change anything. I think a better example of, you know, someone making a good statement would be Joy Villa in her awesome pro-life dress. Did you see that?
Oh, I did see that. She had like a baby in the womb,
yeah,
painted on her dress.
Cool. Well, what's neat about that is Joy actually, at about 20 years old, ended up becoming pregnant and ended up placing her child for adoption. And so that dress is actually a hand-painted version of the sonogram of her baby.
Oh, nice.
And she, not only did she have, you know, the sonogram, hand-painted version of the sonogram on her dress of her baby, but she also had her purse that said Choose Life. If you look at her Instagram page, it says pro-life, pro-constitution, and she's going against the culture of the music industry, of Hollywood, and saying, I'm pro-life. I'm, you know, I'm a person of faith, all of these elements. And that's not easy to say in the middle of an industry that has stood for Me Too, but is forgetting the unborn children in the womb.
Yeah, it's so much inconsistency there. You know, I mean, it's awesome that she's consistent, but let me get your take on this, Timri, because I know that the charge of hypocrisy and the charge of being inconsistent is thrown around willy-nilly on both sides.
Right.
And I think in many cases, rightly so. Like, when I look at the Grammys and I say, all right, you stand up and you say Me Too and you say all this, but clearly the price of fame, even in your backup dancers, is that they get naked and gyrate on stage in a way that's pleasing only to men. That's the price of fame right now. That's clearly what it costs. And that's inconsistent with your message. How much of that realization that we should have a consistent message do we as Christians need to accept? Because we get thrown that as right. well, especially when it comes to the politics these days. But I know it's the end of Pro-Life Month. We're nearing the end of January. We had another march just this last weekend in San Francisco. Had the huge Walk for Life in San Francisco.
60,000.
I had an interesting, I haven't had a chance to talk to you since I was at the, we did our marches, you were in San Diego, I was up in LA. I had an interesting interaction with a very liberal feminist Christian after, at One Life LA. And here was the charge. A couple things. One, she said, it's completely moral. The Christian thing to do is to be, in fact, pro-choice, is to be pro-abortion. That's the Christian thing to do. And she says, you guys are being inconsistent because you're not supporting women and the elderly and all of these others with, and in fact, at One Life LA, I mean, that's hardly the case. I mean, they take pains, but in general, I get the idea that you can't just have a anti-abortion march or a pro-life march unless you are all of these other things. Now, I think both of those are completely false, and we're going to have to come back to this a little bit after the break, but I do think that as believers, we need to be able to accept the challenge, if you will, that you need to have a consistent pro-life ethic. And are you doing that in all, like, it's easy for us to throw charges of hypocrisy at their side. Right. What do we say when we get charged with hypocrisy on our side? We'll have that a little bit when we come back. Actually, today, for those of you especially on Facebook and Instagram.
Instagram Live and Facebook.
Let me give you a call-in number. Of course, you can comment there and we'll check the comments. But let me give you a call-in number as well. 714-282-6034. If you would like to offer your comments today on trending, we have Matthew taking your calls right there in the studios. We'll be right back.
Timmery and Dawn will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Dawn Johnson Media. This is Trending with Dawn and Timmery on Relevant Radio. To learn more about Dawn Johnson or Timmery Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit DawnJohnsonMinistries.org or Timmery.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.
So I watched just a snippet of the Grammys, and by that I mean I watched on YouTube later as I scrolled past. And I did notice that even amidst all of the Me Too and the Time's Up and all of that, there was still a lot of naked women gyrating on stage. And I thought, this is a little bit hypocritical. I thought that there's a little inconsistency. However, I recognize that Christians, especially pro-life ones, often get charged with hypocrisy, our own selves. And in one sense, I get it, right? Especially when it comes to politics. I do think pro-lifers need to be careful about supporting politicians that aren't actually pro-life or that aren't consistent in their life ethic. And nobody's perfect, I get it. But I do think that it's very easy for Christians to say, oh, you guys are being hypocritical. Look at all of the, you know, morally improper things that your people are doing, well, not accepting that on our side.
And I'm just going to push back really quick. I totally agree with you. In a picture perfect world, we would have a virtuous character across the board. But however, unfortunately, many of the men and women who are working within public office, we need a revamp of virtue within public office. And at this point, when we have two candidates, one of whom is pro-life and one of whom is radically not pro-life, we are called to do as much good as possible. And I think that that's where we have to take that attitude in. And that's something that, you know, the church has been very clear on, do as much good as possible in these situations.
Yeah, well, of course, unfortunately, what the charge is there is what you are saying is, I'll take the power, I will take the policy position at the expense of character. And
so that, we just that don't
is,
vote then?
No, that is, but that has never been the Christian position. I'm just saying you can do that. Just don't call it the Christian.
But the church has been very clear. We have a responsibility to participate in the in the voting system. And so we can't just step out and say we're not going to vote. Grant, there may be elections where it is a very difficult choice, but we should be doing as much good as possible.
Sure. All I'm saying is when the feminist movement in the 1990s supported Bill Clinton, they basically set back feminism at least two decades. They basically set it back until today when the Me Too movement is basically making up for 20 years of disaster that largely happened because the feminist movement threw in with Bill Clinton when he was quite credibly charged with things like rape and certainly abuse of power in the Oval Office, right? Mm. They said, you know what? We don't have a perfect president, but he has my policy positions. Therefore, I'm going to support him. They were rightly charged with crazy hypocrisy.
Well, they didn't have good policy positions on their own to begin with. Well, so I think it's totally different.
Well, it isn't there, but they're saying it doesn't matter.
It is
what,
different, though.
It doesn't matter what you... The argument is it doesn't matter what you do in your private life as long as you hold the proper policy positions. That was the feminist charge. That was their position. Christian said, no, character counts.
Character and policy, because Clinton's policy was not something that we would approve of from a life perspective.
Unless you are saying character doesn't count, only policy counts.
No, the both count.
Okay.
And they were agreeing. But what I'm saying is that to begin with, you're saying they compromised his character for the sake of the policy. But what they were voting for on the policy to begin with was not good policy. And that's what I'm saying.
Oh, of course.
Both the policy and the character, like they weren't even looking at someone as, oh, at least you have good policy. To them, it was good policy, the radically pro-abortion,
that's what they said.
Pro-contraception.
They said, we don't like what you're doing to women in the Oval Office.
Right.
We get that. You're abusing women in the Oval Office. However, you hold to the right abortion policy. Therefore, I'm going to disregard what you're doing to women in the Oval Office.
Right.
That's exactly the same position that believers have now in many cases towards their politicians, saying, we don't care what you do in your private life. As long as you hold the right policy position when it comes to abortion.
I can say the vast majority of people that I've worked with over the years, especially within the pro-life movement, have said virtue across the board matters. But when we only have two options and one is clearly pro-life, we have a responsibility to vote.
It wasn't a dichotomy thing. We don't have two options now. We have one option, and we had 18 options when they actually first started voting on this thing, at least 18, if not more. And they said, we don't care what you do in your private life as long as you hold to certain positions. And a lot of them weren't even pro-life positions. All that to say, be very careful about your charges of hypocrisy and that you're not accepting the exact same thing yourself.
No, I hear what you're saying.
That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
But we can't step out of voting.
Well,
that's
no,
the thing.
But how it looks to everybody else, the way that you look as a pro-life voter who doesn't care about the virtue of your leaders is exactly how the other side looks to you when they say me too and yet have a bunch of naked women gyrating on stage. There's a huge disconnect there that if believers don't start to recognize that disconnect from the other side is all I'm saying, right? Like you need to recognize that disconnect from the other side or we're going to set back our movement. And frankly, the movement we're primarily setting back is Christianity. You're going to lose Christianity before you lose some of the pro-life stuff, I think. But anyway, we're getting far afield here from our Grammy talk.
But it's an important reminder, like you're saying, of that consistency. You know, we can't control how politicians, how media personalities interact, but we can control the consistency in our own lives. And I think this is what it comes back to, that consistency in who we are, how we interact. You know, we didn't just have a pro-life walk this weekend. We had a pro-life walk that says how you live your life matters. Are you living a life of chastity? You know, you have Joy Villa who, you know, stood up there in this dress, clearly making a pro-life statement about the baby in the womb. And she is someone who, she's gone through a tough path and has made some difficult choices. And she chose to keep her baby and place her child for adoption. And she was an excellent testament to recognizing, I've made some difficult choices, maybe not the best at times, but here I hope all women, other women who are in difficult circumstances like I was at 20 years old will consider adoption as well. Like, here's a good example of someone who owns up to, here I had a difficult circumstance. And I think that you saw at the Grammys some neat consistencies and some inconsistencies. You know, some great statements were made. And I think that that's something to recognize. And I think it's really good to talk about. You know, you had some of the other people who were there. You, for example, had Lorde, who was nominated for Album of the Year as well. She didn't end up winning, right? But here she was in this beautiful dress, beautiful red dress with this very feminist statement on her back. She had, you know, the writing. I think, what was the name of the woman who had written it? It was Jenny Holzer. Jenny Holzer has this pro-feminist, you know, looking, I think essentially it's, you know, hitting on the administration. But she too made a statement here. And one of the, I think, the bigger statements that people were trying to say, that Lorde in this beautiful red dress with the writing on the back of this, you know, very well-known feminist today, here she is. And while she's nominated for Album of the Year, she's one of the few nominees that didn't end up receiving an opportunity to perform. Supposedly, she turned down the opportunity to perform side by side with, I can't remember who it was, but basically for another tribute, like the Elton John tribute. Do you see the Elton John tribute with Miley Cyrus?
I saw a little bit of it.
It was fantastic.
I'm a fan of Miley Cyrus.
I'm so happy. Yes, yes.
Interestingly, Miley Cyrus is a person who has really come back, I feel, from the edge. And she looks at some of the things that the industry asked her to do and says that was a big mistake, and she has really turned things around. So I'm a fan,
which is awesome to see. It's awesome to see her, I don't know how to answer, but normal again, you know. She's not right. Sticking her tongue out all the time. She's not almost completely, if actually, naked on a wrecking ball. I hate that song. My clients at the studio, Don, know that if Alexa starts playing that song, I like start cringy. I'm like, Alexa, next song. I think she knows now not to play that song anymore.
I think she's quite regretful of the whole video.
Yes.
And in fact, I think if you look for that video, what you actually see, the primary video that she has is just her singing now. You don't see the whole naked thing.
Oh, did they change the video that's online?
At least there is another video.
Oh, wow.
That is the official one that's not.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's
interesting.
It turns out that swinging naked on a ball is not actually a pro-feminist statement.
Right.
Interesting.
I remember I was speaking right when that video came out. I was speaking at a conference, and there were probably about 300 high schoolers, about 16-ish. And right in the front row were a couple of the football players for the school. And they're sitting up there, you know, they've got their jackets on, really good looking teenagers. And I just posed the question. I said, okay, Miley Cyrus, Wrecking Ball, what are your thoughts? You know, the first people to raise their hands in the whole room? The boys. And not only that, these two really good looking teenagers in the front row. And I just asked, what are your thoughts? And they just ended up saying, she's lost all respect for herself. They didn't sit here and say, hey, this was a great video, I enjoyed seeing her naked on a wrecking ball, it was real, you know, stimulating. Right. You know what I mean? She's lost all self-respect. And it was such a powerful moment. All of these girls just looked at these young men shocked to hear that that's not what they're looking for. And here's Miley Cyrus coming back and recognizing, I have a public profile that has been, I mean, those images are everywhere online. You can't take them back now.
Yeah,
but she can try to make efforts to have more self-respect. And I think she is.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, her most recent videos, long gowns. All right, here's the number if you would like to call in and join us today. If you're listening on Facebook or Instagram, 714-282-6034. And of course, you can always leave your comments and questions there on our social media pages. We will be right back after this.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Don Johnson Media. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Don and Timmery, applying timeless principles to today's hottest topics.
Someone looked at me last week, Don, and said, so what do you think about these kids taking Tide Pods? And I looked and went, huh? What are you talking about? Yeah, the kids in the Tide Pods are eating Tide Pods. What do you think about it? And I look and I'm thinking, that's dumb. I just couldn't believe it when I heard that these kids, it's become sensationalized online, and kids are now recording videos as a challenge and biting into the Tide Pod. And I guess a number of them have been poisoned. There have been health risks. Apparently, there have been a huge number of cases, much higher than would be expected for the first couple weeks of January. I think the number passed what we saw last year for the whole year of Tide Pod-related incidents. And I mean, Grant, maybe a kid now and again climbs in and grabs one, but...
I was going to say, what's the average Tide Pod incident? You're right. I guess if they think their candy or something. I can see that. Little babies maybe accidentally getting... Okay.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. That I guess supposedly some of... And this is the other thing. It's not just high school, middle school kids. This has become popular among college age students. Like, you guys, come on. You can't be that stupid. Your kids should know better. Parents, please teach your children. Do not try anything that's somewhat risky, even just to be fun and funny online.
Yeah, what... This is one of those things where you're like, is this even a story? Is this something that we actually need to cover? It's like, what is happening in the world where you have to have people like Rob Gronkowski, the football player, actually doing a PSA to tell people not to eat Tide Pods?
Right.
It's like, here's poison. Don't eat it. How can we possibly get... And have you actually seen numbers? Do we have hard numbers?
39 okay. Intentional cases where there has been some health issue just in the first, I think, like 2.5 weeks of January.
I mean, that's better than like 39,000, I guess. I mean, there are a lot of people who are crazy out there. But what's behind this, do you think? I mean, surely people aren't that... I was going to say they're not that stupid. I mean, there's this Instagram account out there called Idiots Getting Hurt. It's just, you know, a lot of accidents and stuff, but a lot of times it's accidents that result from people doing like really, really stupid things, you know, like, let me jump off my house real quick. And, you know, those sorts of things. And this is actually where I first saw it. They had somebody eating a Tide Pod on the Idiots Getting Hurt. And you're like, okay, this article points to the fact that they're just trying to put on a show for people.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I think part of it is that in general, we have to just pause for a second. Kids do stupid things. Like, we do stupid things. Like, a good example, we had a deck 2 stories up, and when we had a lot of snow, my next door neighbor and I would jump off of the deck from 2 stories up into the snow. Was there maybe as much snow as there should be on the ground? Not always. Was that a big jump? Yeah, it was a pretty darn big jump. And, you know, especially when you consider, you know, there's a bit of a buildup under the house. It's not just 2 stories, which makes it even a little bit higher. Could that resulted in really stupid decision then? Did we know it was risky? Yeah, we knew those things, you know. And I think that that's what we come back to. Kids do stupid things. The issue is that 15 years ago, when I was doing the stupid things, we didn't have a camera all the time available challenging us to do something stupid and record it. I mean, the access to cell phones and everything was really just becoming somewhat of a norm for teenagers, not even 10, 11 year olds at the time. And so it's interesting when you kind of put that perspective in. Now I think we've sensationalized it. And so not only do you look for attention, as well as doing stupid things, you look for attention, you put it online for more people to give you attention.
Yeah, that, and I think that's really at the bottom of this whole thing is, in the past, you're right, why would the guy jump off the house? Well, maybe he's trying to impress the girl next door. You wouldn't generally do those things if nobody's there, right?
Right.
You're not trying to impress yourself, you're trying to put on a show for somebody else. And in the past, yeah, hopefully that's limited to, you know, your cul-de-sac or whatever. But yes, now that we have the technology, but also I think the technology has brought an added emphasis on fame. That the one thing people really, really want in life these days is fame. I want to be known far and wide. And how do you do that? Well, in the past, you'd actually have to do something qualitative, right? Like you'd actually have to do something well, so well that you're in the top whatever percent of the whole world and you get well known for that thing, you know, piano playing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now fame doesn't really work that way. Fame works that you don't have to do something well, you just have to do something that you're known for. Mm-hmm. And so I know that, for instance, Logan Paul, who I don't really know that well, but I do know he has millions of people who watch him on YouTube and wherever else he's on social media. He got into trouble the other day because he basically posted a selfie in Japan with him and a person who had committed suicide, a dead body there. And he got into a huge amount of trouble because they're like, Logan, you can't put dead people on your Facebook or whatever, right. or your Instagram, or I think that's YouTube probably. And he's like, oh yeah. You could see he's sort of like, oh yeah, I guess that was sort of stupid, wasn't it? But I think the argument is that the reason he's famous is he does outlandish things.
Right.
And once you start doing outlandish things, the outlandishness has to get bigger and bigger so that you can keep people...
You have to shock them more, wow them more.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well,
and if you think about it, though, you know, bringing this back to the Hollywood industry, the Me Too campaign, the sex abuse scandal, what are we willing to do in order to get famous? What are we willing to say? And I think that this is where prudence enters in. Responsibility, love and responsibility for other people and that person that just died and respecting that body and the people, the family members of that person. You know, that's where I think that we've become so quick to respond and interact on social media. We've lost basic prudence of maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I shouldn't comment here. Maybe I shouldn't even be on here at this moment because of where I'm at.
Well, I mean, you're exactly right, of course, Timmy, but where are we going to get prudence from? I mean, where are you going to get... Virtues are not exactly high on people's, you know, to-do list these days.
Yeah.
And fame certainly isn't equated with being virtuous. In fact, we downplay being virtuous a lot of times. I've been talking again, it was irritating to me that I scrolled past the Grammys last night. I know we've been talking about it, but the juxtaposition of all of those naked women and the price that they're paying, why do they have to be wearing nothing on stage? Because the shock value has continued to erode. And virtue is nowhere to be found in any of that stuff. I just need to shock you. Why do all of the cable TV shows now have, you know, 77 F-bombs per 15 minutes? And why are they just women naked all the time? Because the shock value, you have to keep shocking people. Well, yeah, the call to virtue, of course, is the right one. But right. I don't know. I mean, it's almost like that train has left the station.
I think you do see a turn while there are a lot of people who are choosing to wear risque dresses and participate in stupid Tide Pod challenges. You know, even just looking at the conversation surrounding Me Too and surrounding Time's Up, you know, you had Lorde who, you know, nominated for one of the albums of the year. She didn't get the opportunity to perform. I think, you know, I understand people are making a big deal about that, but I see her dress. She was wearing a beautiful red Valentino dress. It was beautiful. And then she had this, you know, not necessarily someone we would agree with. You know, you read her online posts, but this feminist, Jenny Holzer, and I would totally disagree with her. Like, she was saying religion causes all the problems on Christmas. That was her tweet of the day. This, like, angry feminist posting in all capital letters for all of her tweets. Like, would we agree with her? No. But I have some respect for Lorde and the fact that her dress was beautiful, elegant, and she still stood for what she believed. But in a simple statement written on her back. And, you know, you have Joy Villa, who also had a beautiful dress, making a statement. Like, you have people who are taking the time to think about how can I do something in a respectful way and, you know, not getting into their personal lives. But there are so many people out there who do take a step back and recognize, you know, there's something special about me and my body and what I share and what I do with it. And I think that this call to prudence is something that we, in even, you know, approaching Lent, can begin to take responsibility for. Because when people see self-respect in others, it changes how they view themselves. Peer pressure is a real serious thing, but there's such a thing as peer pressure for good, too.
Yeah, right. Positive peer pressure. Yeah, so it does start with us, doesn't it, ultimately?
Yeah.
That even in my hopelessness and throwing in the towel and saying, oh, the culture's a mess. No, we personally can work on our virtue and our families and our friendships and all of those things. And we personally can be a light in whatever relations we interact on a day-to-day basis. So, yeah, at our work, at our families, yes, it starts with us, I guess, is a good way to
think about that. I was thinking of a story. There was this priest who I was a co-keynote with back last fall, Father Josh Waltz. He is an awesome speaker. Anyone looking for another incredible young man priest who just, I mean, wakes people up. He was fantastic. He's from Nebraska, which they have more diocesan vocations in Nebraska. He's a diocesan director than they do in San Jose here in California. It was just interesting to see, like, by like times five. I think it was a way bigger number. But Father Josh Waltz was talking about his story. You know, he was an athlete. He, you know, grew up Catholic, but, you know, maybe wasn't as into it. And at one point, he was challenged by a priest to go to Mass every day when he was in college. And not only was he challenged to go to Mass every day, but he was challenged to invite his roommates. And he hated, like, the alarm clock would start going off early and everyone was like, oh, Josh, what are you doing? And they're talking about this. But then he'd also go around knocking on doors, inviting friends early in the morning. I mean, think college, everyone's sleeping in a lot of the time. And they would get so upset. But him going and him continuing to invite people, even when he's totally like, hey, would you like to go to Mass? I mean, like, you almost run after you say it. He kept doing it. And you know what? He changed his life and the lives of some of the people around him. Not only that, he changed the lives of so many people. And that small step, he is now a priest. And look at all the vocations that are coming out of his diocese.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Don Johnson Media. This is Trending with Don and Timmery on Relevant Radio. To learn more about Don Johnson or Timmery Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit donjohnsonministries.org or timmery.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.
How's that New Year's resolution to read more coming along? Hopefully, quite well. And I hope that includes two wonderful magazines called Radiant and Valiant. You can find out more about them at radiant.osv.com and valiant.osv.com. They're put out by Our Sunday Visitor, a wonderful publisher, and they're great friends of the show. Radiant is for young women. Valiant is for young men. Highly recommended. And we have been getting great feedback even from listeners who have found these magazines and said, thank you for recommending them. Radiant.osv.com and valiant.osv.com.
This week, we had some really good news, but also I think something to be apprehensive and watch for. Cecil Richard, who has been the head of Planned Parenthood for, I believe, over 10 years now, I think since 2006, has officially announced that she is stepping down. Last week, at the beginning of the week, we heard rumors from a statement that she might be stepping down. She has confirmed it. I am on the Planned Parenthood email list. I hear all of the nasty things they have to say, and she is stepping away. She says she will still be around to some extent. So while she's leaving Planned Parenthood, I think that we need to be careful. While it is good that she is leaving, I think she's leaving in the midst of an FBI investigation, right? Into Planned Parenthood after, I mean, over a year and a half of congressional investigations and the clear evidence that Planned Parenthood has been involved in the buying and selling of baby body parts and an improper consent of the women. You know, we've seen some of their partners who have now, you know, basically practically been shutting down some of their operations, paying exorbitant fees because they have been responsible for selling purchasing from Planned Parenthood. So if they're being punished, Planned Parenthood has to be punished in some way. And if they aren't, I mean, it'll totally end up being political. But Cecil Richards is leaving. Who will come in next? And also, what does she have planned next? I think that that's something yet to come.
Yeah, it's sort of the devil you know and the one you don't is always the question. So the numbers at Planned Parenthood have been seeing less and less people, but they've been doing more and more abortions. They're bringing in more money. They're doing more abortions. They're seeing less people. I like the less people part. hate the more money and the more abortions part.
Well, obviously. Here's the deal. Since she took over back in, I believe it was 2006, at the time, they had about 289,000 abortions. Now that number has increased by over 30,000. They're at 321,384 for the year 2016 to 2017 reports. What they were able to say is that Cecil Richards has been responsible for putting an emphasis on abortion and increasing those abortion numbers by 10% every year. And on average, the number of abortions performed were 320,000. So she has really refocus the mission of Planned Parenthood to be on abortion. And part of that hasn't just been that it's on abortion, but abortion advocacy as well. And so now what we've seen is that before they saw 3.1 million clients back when she took over. Now, fast forward to 10 years later to 2016, they were at 2.4 million. So there's a drastic difference in the number of clients they're seeing, the number of abortions that are being performed. Yet now, they now receive over $200 million in federal funding. And yet, they're not seeing the same number of patients for quality care for women. They're in the business of abortion. They're not in the business of quality care for women.
Yeah, they're in the business of making money and getting rid of babies is what they are. And she's really focused on that. And so right. It really does. The numbers really do show the lie about women's health care and all that stuff. It's right. Never been about that.
It's never been about that. Another thing that I saw a piece come out this week, Don, and you know, these people have been very close to my heart, and I have had the opportunity to listen to some of these people who are struggling with infertility. It is, you know, man, it just touches my heart for anyone who's maybe gotten married later in life or got married hoping to have a big family and they weren't able to. My heart and my prayers go out to you. Know that I pray for you regularly. But there was a piece in the National Catholic Register that came out of this woman talking about her infertility struggle. And part of her infertility journey was talking about how she's come to embrace and love the saints and how important this love for the saints has been for her and her life. You know, following with biblical women like Sarah and Rachel, Hannah and Elizabeth, who too struggled at times with infertility, but were blessed by God and had wrestled with God for the gift of life. And, you know, she also talks about saints who can journey with her, like Saint Anne, who in the tradition says that Saint Anne and Saint Joachim actually had really been praying for a child and in their older age were able to conceive eventually. So another element of the infertility struggle is that, and I hear this from women and men who've struggled with infertility, also from people who have struggled with maybe having a child with special needs or developmental delays, that they try to talk about what's going on and people just give them try to give them solutions right away. Well, you can do this, or maybe if you hadn't done that, or, you know, start kind of throwing things out there. We have a responsibility, and this isn't always easy, but to listen and to validate what people are saying. We're not going to fix it on our own. And trust me, especially for people who struggle with infertility, if they're not aware of NAPRO technology and monitoring hormones or fertility care awareness, I think that's something important to share. But if they're just needing to talk, you know, just right. Listen and just maybe even ask, what have you tried? Rather than trying to give a solution, what have you tried? And that helps them in being able to share, well, this is how difficult it's been. This is where I've been walking.
Yeah. And even be careful with that one. I think this is one of those, my wife and I didn't, we struggled, you know, not nearly to the extent of others, but we did have about 3 years at the beginning of our marriage where we were trying to have a kid and we just didn't. And it's very frustrating. Thankfully, things worked out. But I think this is one that's so emotional, almost with it, but with any, I mean, I don't want to equate it with others, but so often I feel like when people are going through something, we're always very quick to just offer something. And I think you're absolutely right, Timory. Most of the time, don't offer anything, right? Like just stay silent. If you have gone through with that, or you know other people, and this is, you were talking about the saints. What a great treasure that is.
Yeah.
Not only the saints, but just other people. I mean, generally, you're going to find that strength and that solace with other people who have gone through it. You're not going to find it. I'm just sorry to say, you're not going to find strength and solace in the advice that people give, even if it's good advice, right? Like, are true statements like, well, God's good, you know, God's got a plan. Nobody wants to hear that.
It's like, right.
I mean, yes, it's true, but
they know.
That's not helpful.
But if you think about it too, you look at the biblical women of the Old Testament or even the New Testament, Saint Elizabeth, right? And you see they clung to the Lord in that time. Some of them with just peace within the situation, others of them clinging to the Lord, praying for his gift of fertility. But I think that that's such a good reminder. And one of the people that's mentioned, and I'll tweet it out, this National Catholic Register article, is that it mentions a mother, Lucita. She was born in Mexico in 1866, and she was a teenager and when she was wed to a young doctor. And Mother Lucita, her husband tried to have children for many, many years. They wept and they prayed. And finally, they decided to basically that the poor would be their children. And they founded a hospital dedicated to, you know, helping the poor and the less fortunate. And her husband ended up dying and she ended up becoming a religious sister, a Carmelite. And in fact, the order that she founded, talk about just providential, the order that she founded is actually the one in Alhambra, the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart, which in fact, Vox Vitae Camp, the dates are being announced soon, but the speakers have been announced. So for any youth you're looking to educate on Catholicism in life, stay tuned, please. This is a major priority for educating our future Catholics.
Absolutely. Speaking, anything else you want to promote coming up? I know that we're kicking off the speaking season here.
Right.
Lent, I'm off to Indiana, I think it is, next month, and somewhere else. And
awesome.
So, you know, Lenten missions, that sort of thing. Vox Vitae, if you would like Timory or I to come speak at your event, we are more than happy to do that. So go to Timory.com. Anything they need to do when they're at Timory.com.
You can go to Timory.com, go to the booking page and fill out the form. And I actually have a Easter, both, it can be done both in Lent and Easter, but a series that I'm working on. And I even have a social media promotion coming to give to your parish for it to be turnkey if you would like to run a mission working with specific saints, Peter, you know, Mary Magdalene, Saint John, and how they journeyed and approached Jesus and his crucifixion, resurrection. So that's one of the Lenten missions that I will be doing as well. And again, I will help you guys with the social media promotion because we have some content so you can help bring people in for that event.
Nice. You can also go to donjohnsonministries.org to invite me as we look towards summer and the movie Unprotected that will be released right around the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. We're also booking speaking for Sexual Revolution Talks. So if you want to know how we got to the Me Too movement,
right,
I'm happy to come to your parish and give you a full rundown of how we got to the current age and what we can do to help fix that. DonJohnsonMinistries.org.
Hey, you guys, be sure to continue to support Trending, and here's how you can do so. I'm not asking you to give anything right now. What I'm asking you to do is go on to iTunes Podcast and leave a review of Trending. Our show continues to grow, both in its national and international podcast listenership. I love hearing from people all over the UK, Canada, Australia. So please be sure to leave a review so other Catholics can find the show as well. And be sure to connect on social media. We'd love to hear from you and even hear topics you'd like to hear covered.
From the studios of Relevant Radio, this has been Trending with Don and Timory. Trending. To learn more about Don Johnson or Timory Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit DonJohnsonMinistries.org or Timory.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.